Let's turn to Numbers chapter 22. Okay, Numbers 22. Then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, so Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. And Moab said to the leaders of, said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will lick up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, the people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. They came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. And he said to them, "Spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you as the Lord may speak to me." And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out." And God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." And the leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to come with us." Then Balak again sent leaders, more numerous and more distinguished than the former. They came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me. For I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me." And Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God. And now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me." And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do." So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field, but Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood on a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, so Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" And he said, "No." And the angel and the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me." But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I shall teach you." So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the Arnon border at the extreme end of the border. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not urgently send to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I really unable to honor you?" So Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I have come now to you. Am I able to speak anything at all? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I shall speak." And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent some to Balaam and the leaders who were with him. Then it came about in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, and he saw from there a portion of the people. Amen. Okay, very, very interesting passage. Again, this now goes into part two of the book of Numbers. And this basically deals with the foreign intrigue that is going on. And this will last for a few more chapters, and we'll get to part three. But now they're right there on the border of the promised land. And so they're conquering people. God's really blessing them. They're moving forward. Really incredible things happen. And so Balak, the Amorite, or not the, the Moabite king, he saw what they had done to the Amorites, and he's freaking out. I mean, God just smote these people. And so he knows that there is this man of God. He was a prophet, probably a diviner. They just knew that this person had the ability to curse and the ability to bless. And so he calls out this guy Balaam, who is a prophet. And we know that because Peter will write about him, and we'll get to that passage in a little bit. This guy's a prophet. And so he says, "Please come." And there is this group of people. They just came out of Egypt. They didn't know it was the Israelites. They came out of Egypt, and they are just destroying people. They're eating. It actually was a lie in one sense, because when they passed through land, they were very careful not to eat, you know, from the vineyards and not to drink from the wells. And so he's afraid that all kinds of things are going to happen. And so he says, "I'm going to give you some money." So he sends money with him. "I'm going to give you some money, and you need to curse these people for me, and then I'll make you rich." Well, Balaam says, you know, goes talk. And he was a man of God. He was a prophet. Goes to talk to the Lord, and the Lord says, "No, don't mess with these people, because these people are blessed." What an incredible word from God in that regard. You know, I knew a pastor in Argentina, and in Argentina, even to this day, apparently you can go to these witch doctors and fortune tellers, and you can pay money to curse people. Let's say you have a business deal, and there another company is in competition. You can find these witch doctors, and you pay them some money, and they'll curse that company or that CEO or whatnot. And so what these diviners do is, when they receive the funds, and you know, the first thing they see is they come before their gods, and their whole thing is they make sure that their god is stronger than whoever other deity that it governs the other person that they're about to curse. And so they go into divination, and if the fortune teller, if his god, you know, oh, his power is stronger than the one that he's going to curse, then sure, they take the money and they curse him. You know what happens? This is a pastor in Argentina who was telling this story. You know what happens when they try to curse a Christian? The diviner comes, and he does his incantation or whatever to see how powerful his deity, you know, his power is against the Christian's power. And he says, when they do whatever they do, you know who shows up on behalf of the Christians? The Holy Spirit shows up. And so they tell him, "No, I'm sorry, I cannot curse this person, because that power is much greater than the power that I have." And, you know, I mean, it sounds like a fantastical story. I mean, I could only rely on, you know, the credibility of this pastor friend. And trust me, he's very, very credible. And so, and this is how it works out. And in that same way, that's basically what Balaam does. And he goes and he says, "Okay, you know, should I go and curse these people?" And the Lord comes and says, no, you can't touch these people. They are blessed. Isn't it amazing, the protection, the providence, the power of God to cover his people? I mean, just I mean, such an amazing word. You know, no, it's so simple. Go back to your, what does it say? And God said in verse 12, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. They are blessed. This goes all the way back to Genesis 12, the Abrahamic covenant. It says, I'm going to bless you. And so this doesn't come out of nowhere. And so he goes and says, you know, no, I can't do this thing because the Lord has refused, so let me go with you. So then the Moabites came and brought more money, brought more distinguished people. You know, it's like if you think of like hostage negotiations, right? You know, they send an ambassador to low level. Now let's send the Secretary of State. You know, and then if that doesn't work, let's send the Vice President. If that doesn't work, we'll send the President. You know, and so they're going through this hierarchy, and so more people come and said, "Hey, we're gonna Balak's words. We're gonna richly honor you." I mean, in other words, you do this for us, man, we're going to take care of you. And Balaam has a good heart in this regard and in the beginning here, and he says, you know, even if you give me a house full of silver and gold, I mean, not just a house, your house full of silver and gold. In other words, everything that you own, you know, I really don't have much power. And so I can't do this, you know. I can only do the command of the Lord my God. And so he stays here. God comes up at night. And this gets into a little bit of the confusing part, okay? Let's read this together. And God, verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. Verse 22, but God was angry because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Okay, let's break this down. He has a dream at night. God says in the dream, if these men are calling for you, go with them. Balaam wakes up, he saddles his donkey, and he goes with them according to the command of the Lord. Now, the Lord gets angry now at Balaam for going with them, but he told him to go with them. Do you get, like, this could get very, very confusing. Like, what's going on here? And some of the, like, my first thoughts when I was reading this is like, is God like, you know, my girlfriend, you know, back in the day, I don't have a girlfriend, I have a wife, okay, but back in the days, is God like my girlfriend? And, you know, she asked me, you know, I ask her, do you want to do anything on Valentine's Day? And my girlfriend says, no, nothing, we don't have to do anything, it's a commercial thing, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. And so we don't do anything on Valentine's Day, and then that night she gets pissed at me, because we didn't do anything on Valentine's Day. You understand what I'm saying? Like, is God has that kind of personality where he tells you to do something and he expects you to do something else? You know, kind of like, you know, Balaam, I wish you would have read between the lines, you know, of what I was saying. I mean, is God fickle like that? Is he like our girlfriends? Or, you know, maybe your boyfriends do that too, you know? Is that how this works? No, that's not what's going on. And the reason why I can say that is, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter tells us what happens. That's why, you know, one of the best ways of Bible study is let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. It's one of the clear ways of studying the scriptures. And look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, Peter gives us a hint of what's really going on. He says here, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. For he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a dumb donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. this is a narratively written here, and probably like verse 22, probably could be better written, but God was angry because, not necessarily because he was going, but because of the condition of his heart. And so Peter tells us he became mad. He became mesmerized by the riches that were coming to him. And so he goes and you know, on this journey. And so something happens to Balaam in his heart. And we could tell that he's mad. Here's this man of God. Here's this prophet. And he's going on his way, and God sees the corruption of his heart. You know, he's basically going for money. Not just in obedience of God. His heart has been corrupted in that way, and he becomes mad. In other words, the riches, prestige, or whatever it is that he's really after takes over his mind, that he's becomes blind. That's really what happens here. And so the donkey is on his way. They're going to the vineyard, and there's this huge angel of the Lord that stands with the sword. And Balaam is so mesmerized by wealth. He's so mesmerized by his sin, he can't see anything. Who can see it? His stupid donkey. And his donkey sees the angel Lord and turns away. And then Balaam strikes the donkey, turns him back, and then he goes, and then the angel stands in the narrow passage of the vineyard. This is where there was a wall, and it was to protect you know, from erosion and these type of things. And so you couldn't, you know, maybe on a roadway, you know, part of the vineyard, there's some maneuvering room, and now it gets even tighter, and it's like, it's, remember him, the donkey, and two other servants of Israel on their way, and they would have definitely had to move over a little bit or whatnot. And so the donkey sees that and starts pressing against the wall and starts, you know, wounding Balaam's leg, and he hits the donkey again. And then the angel, so they continue on their way, and then the angel of the Lord comes into this place where you cannot move at all. There's nothing that you can do. And so what ends up happening is this dying? Oh, okay. It's kind of distracting, man. So what ends up happening is this, there's no way to move now, and the angel of the Lord stands in this place, and the donkey sees that, and he starts, you know, now the donkey has nowhere to go, and so he just lies down. He's like giving up. He sees this angel, and he hits the donkey, and then the donkey starts talking. Now, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. It's a miracle that the donkey starts talking. It's like, what the world? You know, it's even more of a miracle that Balaam starts talking back to the donkey as if like nothing's going on. You know, why are you hitting me? Oh, because you're making me look bad. It's like, you know what I mean? I think that's kind of the bigger miracle. The guy's just having this conversation with the donkey like nothing's going on. You know, one of the commentators writing is saying that he became so blind in his lust. He was so overwhelmed, you know, by the lust of his heart and the riches and all these things, that seemingly talking to a donkey was normal. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Can you imagine how lost and how blind that you have to be to come into this place? Like, yeah, I'm talking to a donkey. There's nothing going on, and it's not a hallucination. And there's something very real that's happening here. And so now, what happens? The Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees the angel, and they start having this conversation. And Balaam knows exactly what he's done. Look what he says. He says, I have sinned. Verse 34. For I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it's displeasing to you, I will turn back. And so he finally recognizes his sin. God opens his eyes. He recognizes, oh my goodness, I have sinned against the Lord. And so he says, you know, do you want me to turn back? And he doesn't. This episode actually turns for good. If you read Joshua, and I forget, there's another book, there's a bit of redemption. But, you know, later on, you know, Balaam dies at the end of this whole thing. So it's a bit tragic. But it's amazing to see this. So a couple takeaways, okay? One, you just see the providence of God at work. You know, God's people were not just at coming out of Egypt. God's people were at other places as well. In particular, we see Balaam here, who seemingly loved God and followed him. And like Peter says, he was a prophet. He was a man of God. But at some point, his heart turned a bit. And so he's in this place, and really, it's the blindness of sin, the absolute blindness of sin. You know, I used to tell you guys that, you know, I've never been drunk in my life, and but I went to a lot of parties, and there was something that happened at a party that I was at. This was when I was a junior, or maybe I could have been a senior, or going into my senior year in high school. And, you know, I was on the basketball team, and so a bunch of guys, we had a party, and I was with a couple of my friends, and, you know, our whole team was there. We were having a great time. You know, people were drinking and whatnot. And so we were at this party, and I had two friends of mine. I consider them pretty good friends, and they were basically trying to get girls drunk so they could sleep with them, you know. And so, you know, I was saying, hey, what are you guys doing? And, you know, one of the guys came and says, man, I'm working on so-and-so. And, you know, you could tell she's already kind of drunk. And so, you know, I'm working on so-and-so because I'm, trying to, you know, do whatever and stuff. And I was like, what? You know, maybe I was kind of innocent, you know, but I was like, what? Like, you are going to do what to who? And but she's drunk, you know, like, I mean, this is kind of crazy, you know, how this works. And I totally lost respect for my two friends. And we're still were friends, you know, and whatnot. But like, there's part of me like, man, you're like a scumbag, you know, like, but it was this idea that they had a goal, right? They just wanted to have sex, and it didn't care how it happened. It didn't care if the person was passed out, you know, gone. That didn't matter to them. They were so blind, you know, to the lust of their heart that there was no sense of decency or decorum. And these were, like, I would consider them to be nice guys, you know, but they were so wanted. They wanted to have sex so bad. That was all. It didn't matter what avenue, you know, let's get this girl drunk and, you know, let's keep giving her beer and, you know, and all these things. And you know, and even for me, and I wasn't a Christian, right? I mean, I was nothing. And I just knew there's something really wrong with that. I mean, it's really something more than wrong. There's something really messed up with that and whatnot. But you know, people get like this. I'm not talking about just non-Christians, Christians as well. We get so fixated and so focused on the lusts of our hearts. It could be sex. It could be pleasure in some other ways. It could be a job. It could be a person. You know what I mean? It could be something. But we become so fixated on it that we become so blind in our pursuits. We don't care who we hurt. We don't care who we walk over. You know, we don't care what destruction that we make our pathway. It's just, we just want that thing so badly. And that's what happens to Balaam. He, in this essence, he literally becomes blind to the lust of his heart. And in one way, Balaam, I mean, let's put a spiritual twist on this, he could feel like he's doing God's work. He's got the word of the Lord, and so he's going to go out, but his heart is full of money. That's what he wants, and wickedness, and, you know, like Peter says, and he has totally given himself over to that. And man, this is like a shocking story. And And even, think about this, even a conversation with a donkey doesn't change Balaam. He still is pursuing wickedness until God opens his eyes. You know, those donkey, I mean, these kind of things, it's like chances. It's God gives, you know, it's like, here, you're on this way. It's almost like God closing a door, you know, if we use that kind of phraseology. Here's, he's on his way, and the donkey turns around, you know. His donkey knows what's going on. You know, they get to another way, and the donkey is like pressing in, you know, trying to do something. And then finally the donkey just falls down. You know, just goes down, and Balaam is so focused. It's three chances God gives Balaam, right, to get his act together, and still doesn't budge, right, doesn't budge, until finally, boom, by the mercy of God, his eyes get open, and he repents. But unfortunately, I mean, we'll read the rest of the story, he doesn't repent fully. So let's close our eyes. Have you been in this situation? Maybe you're in it now. You don't even know. Let me be the donkey that wakes you up. You know, in essence, you know. Turn around. Isn't it interesting the donkey is always trying to turn around? Isn't that the word for repentance? I know this is an EMP crowd, so you guys are probably not dealing with this. But maybe you know someone who is, that really is so blind to their pursuits. You know, I think of the businessman at SP that becomes so blind to their career in neglect of their wife and kids. Or even neglect to their God. We become so blind with ambition. I think of the young woman, unmarried young woman at SP that is so lustful for getting married that the standards go down. Doesn't have to be a Christian. He's a nice guy. We're so blind in the lust to be married that we totally forsake God and his commands. There's a lot of different ways that we can be blind in our lusts. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about yourself or about a friend that may be going through this. Pray that they would hear the voice of the donkey. Or pray that the mercy of God would open their eyes. Because, as the scriptures say, it's a path that leads to destruction. Let's pray.
Saved me It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. No beginning and no end, you're my hope and my defense. Came to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. No beginning and no beginning and no end. You're my hope and my defense. Came to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. And you are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. And you are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. And you are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we would never come to a place where we become so blind in our lusts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boast of life, that we get so lost in our ambitions, in our ungodly pursuits, that even if a donkey spoke to us, we would still not turn away. Now let's just guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray for our friends that may be in this current situation, that they're just so blinded by the lusts of their heart, by unrighteousness. Let's pray for the mercy of God to open their eyes. Well, let's pray this morning. Thank you. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask for God's hand upon our friends that are battling cancer and going through chemo or recovering from surgery. Let's just continue to pray for God's grace over each of them. Pray for God's healing and God's protection over the family members. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Good, our mission focus, and let's pray for our church plants. Let's pray for SP Singh and ask the Lord to continue to bless. You know, one of the pressing issues right now is that they need to vacate their worship premises by this summer, and so they need to find a new space. And you know, Singapore is like Hong Kong; space is not easy to find. And so let's pray for the board members that they'd be very wise, and God would just really release a lot of favor to find this new space, and also pray for the transitions that are happening with PSAM Kim and all those things, and just continue to bless the church. I pray for Indonesia. I pray for our other church plant, Febet Ministries, and pray for Kupang. There's another mission trip going on this July into Kupang. Let's just ask God's hand to be upon Pastor Salamat and the leadership there. And if there's the favor of the Lord, as it will continue to grow. Let's pray. Pray for our missions committee. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would lead our committee to care for our missionaries, to plan out trips, to administrate the funds. There's a lot of things involved here. Let's particularly pray for Pastor Ricky as he heads this group, and just really use him and the group to really enlarge God's kingdom through our church. Let's pray. Let's pray for our local outreach, pray for our community center, pray for Agape, the homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom, and Bridge. Let's ask the Lord to just really bless our volunteers and really the ability to recruit new volunteers as well. And let's pray for Tim and Janella as they lead these ministries. Let's ask for God's favor upon them. Let's pray for our activities going on tonight. Let's pray for SPU, EG, GIC, and tonight is also the Yahweh. Tom Jones will be here. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just really lead us in our discipleship classes, and especially during the Yahweh meeting. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I think he's quite a prophetic leader. Let's just pray that people just get blasted by God tonight. Let's just lift up all the things going on. Pray for House Church. Let's pray for McCain and DB. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to anoint our time. And a lot to discuss, a lot going on from the whole weekend. Let's pray that people will just really be drawn close to the Lord and each other. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you this morning. Thank you for the message, Lord. And we're reminded how easily, Lord, the fickleness of our heart, God, and we can turn, God, so easily like Balaam, Lord, Lord, he was following you, he was resisting, and then all of a sudden, God, the lust of his heart just takes over where he becomes blind. Lord, I pray for protection, God, over each of us, God, where every one of us is susceptible, God. There's none righteous, not even one. No one seeks after God. And so help us, Lord, to always be humble, God, to be dependent, Lord, and really rely on you for all things, God. And especially if we have friends, Lord, that are in these circumstances where they're so blind by the lust of their heart, Lord, by the mercy of God, Lord, speak to them. Open their eyes, Lord, that they may see the condition of their heart and return to you, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Watch over us this day, Lord, and this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you for, if you're able, EMP Unplugged tomorrow.